I'm a passionate region woman because I believe that your geography is not an obstacle to your success.
I'm a passionate regional woman because to me, regional WA is real and raw.
My work gives me the opportunity to travel all over this incredible state and to meet the most amazing people, for which I'm incredibly grateful.
It's all those personalities that make up our diverse communities. It's the people that make here a vibrant place to live.
I believe regional communities cannot achieve economic prosperity without talented regional women living in rural Australia.
It's what makes regional WA the best place to live and love. And that's why I'm a passionate regional woman.
I would love for you to tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Lavinia. So I'm Tracy Lafroy. I'm a farmer from Mora. So we actually farm about 35 k's out of Mora. So we have a grains and livestock farm. I've also come from a farming background, but in the recent past, I've held, I was a startup business person and run a business called Cranmore Home, which I divested back in 2019, I think it was. And that was such a fantastic learning opportunity in a different industry to what I'm used to. Homewares is very different from agriculture. And following on from that, I did some leadership work and have been lucky enough to be elected to the Shire of Mora. I'm still in my first term, but at about year three, I got elected to the position of president and have been doing that for almost a year now. And it's something that I feel really humbled and really honoured to hold this position. My motivation really for being involved in local government and really stems from my love of community and my love of regional WA. So there were things happening within our community that perhaps I felt could be improved or changed. And I've never been one who is willing to sit back and whinge about things without affecting change. So that's how I got into local government and I really enjoy it. We've done some really great stuff. I've followed on from an immediate past president who was really strong on roads and some of the harder infrastructure aspects. And I think my coming in and having more of a focus on perhaps what people would term the softer aspects, so looking at community development, how can we enhance the lifestyle of those who live, work and play in Mora through the services and amenities that we offer. So really strong on education, on health, and also really strong on enhancing the role of the arts within a regional community. I think sometimes sport has such a massive pull and a massive focus that we forget about the value of the arts as well.
Absolutely. I'd be curious to know how, obviously you say you're a mover and a shaker, but I'd like to know how did it first come about that you were like, yep, I'm going to step up and actually get on the council. Did someone approach you or was that something that you were interested in just from your own research?
It's interesting you ask that because I was wondering that the other day. And interestingly, my granddad was Shire President of Irwin for over 20 years. And it never occurred to me to go into local government until someone suggested I run back in 2017, I think I ran, 2017. And I think someone suggesting it to me was just that little prompt that I needed to go, that is a spot I can go to. I think as well, I was really keen to make sure that if I was going to give my time, and it is essentially a voluntary role, if I was going to give my time, I wanted to do it in a constructive manner. And I needed to wait for a period of my life where I had the time to devote to being a strong counsellor because that's what I wanted to be. So following on from selling my business, I mean, the farm obviously takes up a lot of time and we've got three children and I'm heavily involved in lots of community aspects, but I felt it was a period of my life where I might have the time to devote to affecting some positive change in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what was that process like of actually starting to campaign? What's involved there or how does that work?
Well, you meet with the electoral officer for your region and they explain what you can and can't do during the campaign. I ran a fairly limited campaign. I think within the community, I had a fairly decent profile anyway. Most people knew who I was. They also knew I had opinions. I'd like to think they think I'm not opinionated, but have an opinion. I think there is a distinct difference between the two. I think my roles within community as well meant that people understood I was happy to communicate and to learn from others. I think sometimes people go into elective roles or even roles within a community organisation with fairly set ideas of what they think should happen and how they think it should work. Whereas I'd like to think I have a much more consultative process where, you know, let's look at our sport and rec strategic plan, which we're currently undertaking. And for me, I wanted to go in really blank slate so that when people were telling me what they needed and what their desires were and how they felt it should look into the future, I wasn't looking at it in a biased fashion. I could really take everything on board, you know, absorb that information and distill the bits that I felt would be best for our community. So campaigning really revolved around me chatting to people within our community. I had a little bit on social media through Facebook and also sent out a mail drop flyer to everyone in our area. I was lucky enough to get onto council. And it's been a really busy 4 years actually, because we had the Save Mora College campaign during my early years, so before I was even deputy president. And that was really interesting, and that's been a really big learning curve for me, because it has been fantastically positive in that we managed to retain the residential college attached to Central Midlands Senior High School. And our high school is going great guns. You know, we've got enrolments the highest they've been for over a decade. The residential college is actually almost at capacity. I think we've got one or two spare beds at the moment. So that has been hugely, hugely positive. But the flip side of that has been that during the campaign, we as a campaigning group had to go quite aggressively in lobbying both the state and federal government to change their minds. So it was a state government decision, and we chose to lobby both state and federal government for the funds to retain our residential college. Now, we got those funds from the federal government, which was fantastic. The only issue being that the federal government clearly is Liberal and the state government is Labor. And I feel it has really damaged our relationship with the incumbent state government. So to me, yes, we won that battle, but sort of the next thing that we're working on is really trying to reform and repair some of the relationships with the Labor state government. We have utmost respect for them and how they're choosing to do things. It has damaged that relationship, I feel.
Yeah, I guess that would be really difficult to try and juggle both of them and to be able to obviously achieve the outcome that you wanted, especially as it was against the state government's wishes. But that's when it's so important to have local community and local government who can work out what's actually good for the local community, because you live, you breathe, you are there all the time, you actually know what is good for you. I guess that would make it really hard when you are trying to make decisions, whether you work out something is the right thing to do or not. Does that often play on your mind?
I think that's what I love, as we discussed earlier, about local government in WA particularly, not so much on the East Coast, but local government being apolitical, is that because I'm not aligned with a specific political party, it does give me the opportunity to be really community focused, to make informed representation with integrity, rather than trying to follow along a party line ethos or, being hamstrung by what I think I'm meant to be doing. I certainly feel like we are very much a shire and a group that work for our community, you know, regardless of where that sits on community on political lines.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving from councillor then to president, what was that like? What was the transition? What roles and responsibilities changed from just being a councillor to a president?
It was kind of funny, because when I went on council, Kristen, my husband, he was like, yeah, that'll be awesome, hun. You'll really enjoy it. And he said, but, you know, just be aware of how much time commitment it will be. And I said, yep. I said, I have zero desire to be Shire president, so don't worry, that's not going to happen. And then within 2.5 years, I was like, oh, sorry. That kind of speaks to my personality a little bit as well, in that I'm someone who gives themselves 100% to whatever they feel they're passionate about, or where I feel I can possibly have the biggest, most positive impact. So moving from councillor to, I was deputy president for a short while and then into the president role, it's been really interesting. I think it has really honed my skills at listening to people. It's something that I'm really big on, is that everyone around the table has their voice heard. So we actually have a Shire with, what are we at, 4 men and 4 women. So we've got gender parity, which is fantastic. I'm the youngest on Shire at 42, which I think we could do with a little bit more youth. I'm the second ever female Shire president, which I find interesting given that we've been going for well over 100 years. But I've felt really supported by those around the table being president, and I felt my immediate past president has been supportive of my role. I've got a fantastic deputy president with Steve Gilbert. And I think, I would like to think I'm quite approachable. So probably the big thing is I've been surprised about is how I'm always on. So no matter where I am within our community, it's very rare for me not to have a conversation about something regarding Shire, no matter where I am. The post office, the grocery shop, my kids' sport. And sometimes that can be frustrating, but I also think, well, how wonderful that people feel they can approach and have a chat about the fact that the road their school bus is driving on is horribly corrugated, or the fact that their kid really wants to learn the arts, but there's nowhere for them to do music lessons. So it's, and whilst as a counsellor, your role is not to do things, as in the doing, you certainly are in a position where you have this wonderful opportunity to facilitate development. So the Gardiner Street Arts Collective has come into being in the last 2 years, and that's something that I wholeheartedly support. It's provided a home for the Morris School of Music. It's provided a home for our dance school, for the ballet kids. It's provided a home for an Indigenous drummer and his students. So I just love the idea of helping others achieve their goals. So that's really what I see myself as doing, is let's look at, you know, what people want and what they need, and let's find out how to get around or overcome these barriers that might be in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to know what a typical day in the life is for you, because I think you've got many hats. And I think this is really interesting when we're looking at people in leadership and routine and things that they do. I'd love to know what's your a day in the life typically.
Oh gosh, that's a tricky one. We are a family that get up early, but one of our little rituals in the morning, which I just value so highly, is Kristen makes a cup of tea, and all 5 of us have a cup of tea together in our bedroom together as a family. And that's probably the one time every day that we spend time as a family, and we chat about what's coming up, we chat about who's taking who to sport and piano and dance and whatever else is going on. And I feel when I have that little bit of time with my family, that's what energizes me for the day, and then I'm ready to go. So kids are on the bus at 7:45. My day generally starts with a phone call from our Shire CEO. We'll run through what's happening, any issues that have cropped up, anything pressing, anything that I'm attending that day or that he is attending that day. I'll then do that phone call and go, oh, and go for a run. So I love running around the farm. That's sort of my mental health break, if that makes sense. And I find when I'm my busiest and when I least have the time for that run is when I most need to go on that run. You know, like you think, oh shit, how am I going to fit in half an hour to go for a run? And I think, no, I'm doing it because that's what resets me, and that's what gives me that headspace. And sometimes I think, And I think everyone is busy. And sometimes I'll look at my calendar and I'll think, holy moly, how am I going to get all this done today? But if I can get that run in, I feel better prepared. So after I've done my run, it will be normally some time in the office doing emails for Shire. I set aside Tuesdays normally as my office management day, which is for our farm. So I tend to do a full day that day on it. What else would there be? I also work on the National Policy Group, which is a grain growers organisation, and I've just got on that. So I'm really enjoying that and getting across more national issues. So I'll spend some time on that. And then all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock and it's time to go and do after-school activities. So, yeah, and I think there's definitely no typical day. And the thing I would say is that in my head, I'm Shire president, I'm a farmer, I'm a mother, I'm on NPG and I've got my community commitments. So there's sort of five very broad hats. And if you look at five hats, it's certainly not that each of those gets 20% of my week every week. It's that some weeks I will spend all my time on the farm. So leading up to end of financial year, I'll be doing a lot for that. Some weeks it will be a lot on council. So this week's been Australian Local Government Week. So I've literally had the whole time focused on that. Some weeks I'm doing Gardner Street Arts Collective stuff. So it's just about prioritising your energy into the areas that need it at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving forward as a Triple R woman, why is it so important to be involved with your local government?
I think if you're not involved with your local government, you don't know what's happening in your region, and nor can you influence change for the positive. So, like a little example for me, which I feel really strongly about, is Moora is in this fantastic situation at the moment where we've got some big business coming to town. So we've got Coogee Downs commissioning their feedlot in July, so coming up really soon. We've got Moora Citrus doing some great expansion work. We've got the Westport Piggery starting the first two of its modules. And we've also got CBH undertaking a $29 million upgrade to the Moora CBH receival site. So we've got these massive expansion opportunities, and something that I am pushing really hard for as part of being Shire President and with the support of my council, is really pushing for local content with both the construction area of these, but also in making sure that with these developments, there's going to be over 100 new families to town. Let's make sure we've got the housing infrastructure so that these families can actually live in Moora. The last thing we want is a drive-in, drive-out workforce. So we are looking at our housing stock at the moment, what's available, what can we do to facilitate new builds or improving stock so that it's suitable for new staff. What can we do to make sure that when these families come to town, they feel welcome? So are the primary schools aware we're about to have a big influx of people? Is the high school? And also really ensuring that we're communicating up the chain to the state and federal government of not just the challenges we've got coming as the Shire of Moora, but also the opportunities that are coming our way. So the freight task heading our way with 1,200 head of cattle per week going in and out of Coogee Downs is massive. So we're trying to make sure that we have a good handle on the funding that we're going to require to get our roads and our infrastructure up to speed to be able to safely and sustainably handle that sort of freight task. For me, it's important to get involved so that things aren't happening to you, you're actually part of that process. So that's probably my big thing, is I hate when I feel that other people's decision-making is imposing upon me in a negative fashion. So if I can help our community feel that we are part of the decision-making, that we're part of the strategy, I think you have more engagement and you have more ownership of what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. What have been some of the biggest lessons that you've learnt from being on council, and could you share some of them?
Probably some of the biggest lessons I've learnt are to stay authentic to who you are. Sometimes people have pressured me to execute things in a certain manner, which were outside of my comfort zone, outside of my ethics, and not how I would choose to operate. And sometimes that pressure can feel quite intense. And I think that some of those moments are when your integrity is tested. And for me, I love that I can look back on those moments and go, I said no, and I did it the way that I felt was ethical. So I can't divulge a lot about that, sorry. But there have been some testing moments where certainly it almost would have been easier to perhaps go one way, but I've chosen the way that I felt was appropriate and ethical. And I think as well, if you have to compromise on your personal standards or your value set to get something done, is that something that should even be achieved? You know, I think really, really be careful of where you sit, and also really be careful. Something I try and think about is, would this decision-making process, would this pass the test if I was chatting to someone in the grocery shop and told them how we went about this? You know, I think community expectations need to be kept in your mind at all times to ensure that you're acting in a way that is, you know, approachable and appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your hope for the future of RRR women in leadership positions, particularly when we're talking about local government or even potentially federal and state?
Look, I think regional women are so well equipped to have leadership roles. I think by virtue of the fact that we are living in the regions, we are resilient, we are resourceful, we are multi-skilled, and I think we are underrepresented. So a really interesting stat I read in an article, I think it was in the FINRA review or something, was that country people, so people with a country upbringing, are overrepresented in the boardrooms around Australia. And I thought, what a lovely thing. And it's because, or the reasoning they gave in this article, it's because country people are, by nature, aware that they are friends with everyone from different socioeconomic spheres. You're friends with all ages. You're friends with people who, you know, are new to town, have been in town forever. And I feel we have a respect for all members of our community. So, you know, you'll say g'day to the person who is mopping the floor at the school as you walk past, and you'll also say g'day to the principal as you walk past them. All people are valued at an equal role, because you understand that all the little cogs are what make the machine purr. So I think regional women are a really important feature of making those cogs turn. So I think in leadership we would offer, what would we offer? So much champagne. In leadership, I think it's important to recognise that regional women may not have some of the corporate experience of other people, but they certainly have the life experience, they have the community leadership, and I think they have a really strong value set of making sure that what they choose is the best outcome for their community and their region.
Yeah, I think that that's really well put. And for anyone who is listening or who reads the blog, what is your biggest piece of advice for someone who is thinking about getting on their local council in their area?
Do it. I would strongly suggest to be involved. So learn a bit more about the process. Make sure you understand the time commitment that is involved. And go on with the attitude of, how can I help, essentially. And look, if anyone wanted to chat to me, I'm really happy to chat to anyone who is considering running for council. It's really rewarding. Well, I've certainly found it really rewarding. There are challenges, but it's also a really good learning field. So for me, I've felt that learning council procedures around a meeting table has been really interesting. Learning to chair a meeting for me in a really formal, structured sense has been a skill that I've developed. Also learning how to ensure that all voices are heard around the table is both important and at times really tricky to negotiate, because you will have powerful people with powerful opinions around the table, and you need to ensure that just because they're the loudest doesn't necessarily mean they're right or that they're the most relevant part of that. So, yeah, I would say to anyone looking at local government, go for it. It's great fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tracy. This has been very valuable.
No worries. Thank you.